Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we invite you to church on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't make it in person, we'd love to have you join us on our live stream at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. It's our prayer and our mission that we all come to know the deep love of God and that we grow in the grace of Jesus Christ so that we can go out and sow seeds of faith in our world. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to go out into your homes, your neighborhoods, your families, your sporting events, and workplaces, and plant seeds of faith. One by one, we truly can change the world with the hope that is found here in Christ Jesus. Today, we remember 9/11, when terrorists attacked America, two planes crashing into the Twin Towers, resulting in their collapse, which killed thousands, and a plane crashed into the Pentagon, and another plane crashed into a field in Pennsylvania. We remember this week, and we pray for our country. We pray we will never forget those whose lives were lost and whose lives have been forever changed. Let us take a moment and pray. Lord God of all healing and hope, we come today to be restored and filled with hope. Help us to be instruments of your peace and hope in this broken world as we turn to your word again. Speak to us once again of your living hope. Amen. Our foundational scripture passages for today comes from the letter of 1 Peter wrote to the early church. They went through persecution, oppression, intimidation, and, well, terribly tough times. Here we are almost 2,000 years later. Listen with open hearts to the Apostle Peter. As I always say, put yourself in the story and put the story in you. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to cover 23 verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Verse 3, that's where we're going to spend most of our time. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted that the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, So be holy in all you do, for it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Verse 21. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable one through the living, enduring Word of God. Well, the letter of 1 Peter was written in Rome right before the persecution of Nero and right before the death of Peter, who Peter was crucified upside down according to tradition. Peter said that he could not die the same way his Savior Jesus died, so he asked to be crucified upside down. Peter writes to the Christians scattered throughout what is modern-day Turkey. Peter's letter is not only a letter to the early Christians, but it's a letter to us. The Seed had its very beginning, the Seed Christian Fellowship, the church that I pastor. The Seed had its very beginning in 1 Peter as the Holy Spirit gave Bobby Hughes the passage for the name of the Seed. It's based on 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable through the living, enduring Word of God. Well, it's hard to believe that just over 12 years ago, the Lord put it on the heart of about a dozen people to plant a church. And of the original founders of the Seed, the Holy Spirit has blown many of them across the nation to plant more seeds of faith, from California to the state of Washington to Idaho to the state of Texas, the state of Oklahoma, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. Seeds of faith have been planted all over the USA. I think of the hundreds of sermons that have been preached, the songs that have been sung, the prayers that have been prayed, the tears that have been shed, the laughter that has been shared during these past 12 years. I think of the weddings and funerals, the baptisms and communions, the fellowship meals and Bible studies. I think of all the relationships that have been built and established in love, grace, mercy, and hope. I think of the community of hope that this little seed has grown and nurtured during these last 12 years. In times of trial and trouble, many Americans turn to the Bible for encouragement, and with great reason. According to a new study, in the middle of a global pandemic and contentious election and social unrest, the American Bible Society, with assistance from Harvard University's Human Flourishing Program, found a strong correlation between scripture reading and hope. Can you believe that? A strong correlation between scripture reading and hope. There's this strong correlation. Ponder on that just for a moment. This is what they found. Frequent Bible readers rated 33 points more hopeful than irregular scripture readers did in two surveys of more than 1,000 people done 6 months apart. The study also found that people are more hopeful when they read scripture more frequently. Let me say that again. The study found that people are more hopeful when they read scripture more frequently. Well, how you doing? If you need a Bible, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll get you a Bible. We have a scripture reference book I can get you. On a scale of 1 to 100, this is the survey. On a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being the most hopeful, are you looking for hope today? Listen to this message. On a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being the most hopeful, Americans who report reading the Bible 3 or 4 times per year scored 42. People who read monthly scored 59, weekly they scored 66, and multiple times per week, 75. Along with other forms of community and discipleship, such as going to church or participating in a small group, or they all contributed to people's sense of well-being and happiness. Tyler Vanderweel, director of the Human Flourishing Program at Harvard University, said this, "The churches have an important and profound role in contributing to people's well-being in general, and especially so during this time." So what? Where do you find hope in the midst of trials and tribulations, pain and problems, fear and frustrations, even in death and destruction? John Bunyan, the great Puritan who wrote the book The Pilgrim's Progress, once wrote these powerful words, "As your faith is, such your hope will be. Hope is never ill when faith is well, nor strong if faith is weak. As your faith is, such is your hope." What a powerful statement. So my question for you is, what is your faith grounded in? What is your faith founded on? Is your faith grounded in our government? Is your faith grounded in your finances? Is your faith grounded in your health or your wealth or your education or your looks? 1 Peter is a letter of hope. Peter wants to tell the struggling Christians that God is the God of hope. God has sent his one and only Son so that we could have a living hope. God offers us second and third chances. In the midst of suffering and pain that would attempt to derail us, Peter provides a letter of triumphant faith. Peter wants to strengthen and encourage his readers, whose troubles, well, they're in the background of virtually every paragraph of 1 Peter. And as a result, they felt like they had no future. Maybe you feel that way too. In the Middle Ages, the sea route to India seemed an impossibility. It was often discussed in the great economic and political centers of Europe. They used to wonder whether there would be a route around the bottom tip of Africa to the rich land of spices. Many had tried and had failed. The tip of Africa had become known as the Cape of Storms. Then an explorer called Vasco da Gama decided he was going to try again. He succeeded. Ever since he returned to Lisbon, it could never be doubted again that it could be done to go around the tip of Africa. He proved that to use that treacherous way was not inevitably disastrous. Guess what? The Cape of Storms eventually became known as the Cape of Good Hope. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. We're talking about hope this week. If you need hope, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, list your prayer, we'll respond, and we'll pray for you. The people Peter is writing his letter to are living in troubling times. Boy, it sounds like us. They were dispersed among the known world at that time. Maybe they were dispersed like in Rancho Cucamonga, where we live, or Altaloma, or Etowanda, or Upland, or Ontario, or Claremont, or Riverside, Corona, Los Angeles, San Diego, I don't know, Orange County. They were scattered all over. One of the main reasons that our good friend Peter wrote this letter was to raise these people above the world they lived in. Peter wanted to remind this group of people that they were not of this world. Our good friend Peter, and he's our mentor, wanted to give them a living hope and open to them the door of hope. "Wait expectantly," he said. "Look in one direction. This door will open. Wait for it." The Greek word for hope that is used here is elpis, which in Greek it means a happy anticipation of good, a favorable and confident expectation. Well, today, I really believe today, we've lost the meaning of hope. Instead, it's almost like wishful thinking. During New Testament times, hope was not just an optimistic outlook or wishful thinking. It was the confident expectation based on solid certainty. That's the biblical sense of hope. A confident expectation based on a solid certainty. Biblical hope rests on God's promises. Biblical hope rests on God's promises. Hope is our confidence in grace's future accomplishments. So what? I always have these so what questions because I come and I wrestle with this. What area in your life are you waiting for God's grace to accomplish God's work in your life? Hope is our door out of the valley of trouble. Hope is our way around the Cape of Storms into the Cape of Good Hope. The salvation brought and bought by Christ on the cross creates hope for all who believe. It says in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, these powerful words, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This confidence is our hope. Proverbs 46 is one of my favorite psalms. I read the psalms every day. I'd encourage you to read the psalms, journal on one verse, pray one verse. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not feel fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Peter is writing to the suffering Christians of the first century. He wants to encourage them and identify with them. The word he uses for describing hope is living. It's an adjective, living. It means dynamic, vital, and alive. This hope is like living water flowing from a perennial spring that never runs out. In the Greek language, living is a present active participle, meaning that the action is ongoing, going and going and going, ongoing. What Peter is saying is that over and over again, through God's great mercy, those who are in the valley of trouble or in the cape of storms are offered a door of hope through the red cord of Christ's death and resurrection. It's not a one-timer. It's not like get your card punched once and do it once. This living hope is perennial, meaning this kind of hope happens over and over again. The good news that Peter is proclaiming to those who are suffering, lost, wounded, worn out, afraid, broken, hurting, lonely, and afflicted, despairing and depressed, is this: we have a living hope. We have a hope that is not simply good for one time. This living hope happens over and over again. We have a living hope that we can count on over and over again. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive, and we now have a living, ongoing hope. We can look expectantly in Christ's direction. We can anticipate with pleasure that way around the cape of storms into the cape of good hope. Several years ago, a teacher was assigned to visit children in a large city hospital, and they received a routine call requesting that she visit a particular child. She took the boy's name and room number and was told by the teacher on the other end of the line, "We are studying nouns and adverbs in his class now. I would be grateful," she said, "if you could help him with his homework so he does not fall behind." It was not until the visiting teacher got outside the boy's room that she realized she was located in the hospital's burn unit. No one had prepared her to find a young boy horribly burned and in great pain. She felt that she could not just turn and walk out, so she awkwardly stammered, "I'm the hospital teacher, and your teacher sent me to help you with nouns and adverbs." The next morning, a nurse on the burn unit asked the young teacher, "What did you do to that boy?" Before she could finish an apology, the nurse interrupted her. "You do not understand. We have been very worried about him, but ever since you were here yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back, responding to treatment. It is as though he has decided to live." The boy later explained he had completely given up hope until he saw a teacher. He came to a simple realization. With joyful tears, he expressed it this way: "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they?" Are we like the child who has been burned? Do we sometimes think we are past the point of living? Seeing the teacher in his room working with him gave this young man the hope he needed. This living hope kept the young boy alive. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have been given a living hope, alive, active, vital hope. And God raised Jesus from the dead. Is anything too hard for him? Peter does not stop with the promise of a living hope. He encourages us with an inheritance that is kept in heaven. The apostle wanted to remind us that in the midst of the suffering in the cape of fear or the cape of storms, we are to praise God and patiently wait for the promised inheritance. This inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. Peter is saying that our inheritance is reserved and preserved beyond the reach of the dangers of this world. Ask the young boy in the burn unit. We've been given a living hope, and we've been given an inheritance that is reserved and preserved just for us. Beyond our cape of storms is the door to our inheritance, the cape of good hope. So what? Let's kind of bring this home. I love to use acrostics, And I think of words a lot of times in acrostics, and it helps me. It helps me pray and remember the word. So here's my attempt at a few acrostics. Hope, hold on praying every day. Hope, hang on praying expectantly. Hope, heaven's one promise, eternity. This is my favorite. Hope, heaven's one promise, Emmanuel, God with us. A number of years ago, in a mental institution outside Boston, a young girl named Little Annie was locked into a dungeon. The dungeon was the only place, said the doctor, for those who were hopelessly insane. In Little Annie's case, they saw no hope for her, so she was consigned to a living death in that small cage, which received little light and even less hope. About that time, an elderly nurse was nearing retirement. She felt there was hope for this young girl. And so she started taking her lunch into the dungeon and eating outside Little Annie's cage. She felt perhaps she could communicate some love and hope to the little girl. In many ways, Little Annie was like an animal. On occasion, she would violently attack the person who came into her cage, and at other times, she would completely ignore them. When the elderly nurse started visiting her, Little Annie gave no indication that she was even aware of her presence. One day, the elderly nurse brought some brownies to the dungeon and left them outside the cage. Little Annie gave no hint she knew they were there, but when the nurse returned the next day, the brownies were gone. From that time on, the nurse would bring brownies when she made her Thursday visits. Soon after, the doctors in the institution noticed a change was taking place. After a period of time, they decided to move Little Annie upstairs. Finally, the day came when Little Annie, the hopeless case, was told she could return home. But Little Annie did not wish to leave. She chose to stay to help others. Little Annie cared for, taught, and nurtured Helen Keller. Little Annie's name is Annie Sullivan. Think of that for a moment. An unnamed elderly nurse who was at the end of her career gave a brownie to a hopeless, caged little girl. The brownie was a lifeline of hope. This small gesture of hope changed a little girl who went on to touch the lives of millions through her love and care for Helen Keller. So think back through your life and remember the people who have offered you and given you hope. Think of those in your life who have helped you to build your foundation in God, our rock and our fortress. Take a moment to give thanks for those who have helped you in your journey of hope. I don't know about you, but I am eternally grateful to all those who came and left a brownie of hope next to my cage. The real so what for us today is to think of those whom God has placed into our lives. To whom can you give a brownie to? Who can you offer hope to in order to help them expectantly look to the future with hope? Who can you stand with? Who can you pray with? That's what we're called to do. Do you see that Christ is calling us to go into our world and build a cape of hope? God wants us to pray for those and release those who have been trapped in dungeons of darkness for a long, long time. Right now, we're going to pray. God, right now, we thank you for the nurse who never gave up hope for Little Annie. We thank you for Annie Sullivan and for Helen Keller and for the hope they gave to our world. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who was born, lived, died, and rose again. Jesus Christ, our hope, our living hope. Right now, Father, I'm asking you for the Holy Spirit to place upon our hearts the name of one person that you want us to bring a brownie to. Give us the courage to step out of our comfort zones. Give us the wisdom to hear your heart and the obedience to follow your plan, to wait expectantly for our hope in you. Amen. I want you to know, God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.